Even with an investigation underway, this hasn't deflected criticism from US and Iraqi forces about their conduct in Mosul. The UN on Tuesday called for an urgent review of the coalition's military tactics, with Rupert Colville, the spokesperson for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, telling the coalition not to be fooled by the Islamic State armed group.
When it's so clear that ISIL is deliberately using people as human shields and deliberately placing people in buildings which then might be attacked, then the coalition really has a very tricky problem to deal with, and they must deal with it. They have an obligation under international humanitarian law to take due precautions and to make sure attacks are proportional and the risk to civilians is minimized.
In 1 month alone, more than 300 people have been killed in western Mosul. And the US Central Command is working around the clock to try and assess exactly what happened, because there are conflicting accounts. Iraq's military claims that IS militants booby-trapped a building that killed more than 200 people on March the 17th. But some witnesses say it was destroyed by a coalition airstrike. Donatella Rivera from Amnesty International, who's just returned from Iraq, says the death toll may have been lower had the coalition avoided using heavy equipment.
Whatever the behavior of the Islamic State group, it does not relieve the other parties, the coalition and the Iraqi forces, of their duty to take all possible measures to minimize harm to civilians. We've heard from survivors and witnesses of airstrikes that brought down entire buildings and killed entire families, that there were Islamic State members on the roof. It would have been possible to target those specific people who were indeed legitimate targets without going for a kind of munition that destroys the whole house and kills the civilians inside.
The other accusation made by Amnesty International is the fact that Iraqi authorities repeatedly advised civilians to remain home, arguing that it was inevitable that civilians would be killed. The coalition, though, says it wanted to avoid civilians being used as human shields. In a city like Mosul, which is densely populated, this is inevitable. But the fact nonetheless remains that there were a large number of civilian casualties. And as Professor George Joffe of Cambridge University explains, the more deaths there are, the worse the political fallout becomes for Haider al-Abadi's Shia Muslim-led government.
The more bloody that the recovery of Mosul becomes, the more the danger of the Sunni population of the city being once again disaffected from central government will increase. And one shouldn't assume that a military victory means that ISIS has disappeared. It almost certainly won't have done. It would have gone underground. And the danger will be that after the final initial victory, we will see a recrudescence of ISIS because of the sectarian divides that exist. And I don't know whether Mr. Abadi is in a position to be able to control the Shia-dominated militias that now form the real backbone of the Iraqi armed forces.
The danger is that the Islamic State armed group could use these civilian deaths to recruit Sunnis. The same thing happened in 2004 when the coalition launched an offensive to capture Fallujah in the center of the country. The Sunni-majority city ended up becoming a base for al-Qaeda-linked groups, in part because of the deaths of innocent people, which adds to IS's narrative that the West is out to maim Iraq. The challenge thus for the coalition in Mosul will be to try and win back the confidence of the Sunni population. This means taking greater care about the way they reorganize for a capture of a city itself.